We're going to start by praying. If you weren't here earlier, I said my name is Caitlin, one of the team here, and it's my joy to be able to bring the word today and lead us in a time of sharing. And I'm excited for the message that God's put on my heart. So let's see. I want to get right into it today, but I'm just going to pray and invite him to speak through me today. Lord, I thank you, God. We thank you for the incredible time we've already had in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here, to be in a free country where we can come and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray today, Lord, as we learn, let our hearts be open for the word. May we be hungry for the word today. I thank you, Lord, that you speak through us today, that it's your words, not mine, that the Holy Spirit, you're speaking through me, Lord, and the rhema word of God for today. I thank you, God, that there are miracles while we're preaching today, that there are answers today, that you're opening up our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, girls. Thank you. Well, today I'm going to speak on a concept which is really close to my heart, and it's called Mission One. I don't know how many people might have been here might have been about 10, 12 years ago, where we first introduced the concept of Mission One. Hands up if you're here and you've heard the concept of Mission One. A few people around. So Mission One was a concept that God put in our hearts, and we were in the church, and you know, God was really speaking to our leadership team and speaking to our pastors, and they were speaking about reaching the community and saying that we're a lamp and we're here to be to reach our community and to bring Jesus into the world and to bring Jesus to our community. And as we were praying and as we were doing that, God really birthed this concept in our hearts of saying we're here to reach our community. And this concept called Mission One came out. And it's all about, in a nutshell, having a heart for the one. You know, there are times when it's like, you know, there's a crowd of people. See, like on the screen there, a crowd of people, but being able to see the one amongst the crowd. I want to say, has there ever been a time when you've just felt like a number in the crowd? You've just felt like one, doesn't matter, you know, what your name, who you are, your background, your face, doesn't matter who you are, you're just one, you're just a number. Maybe if you go to a coffee shop, you might literally become a number. You know, you might be given a ticket and they say number 76 and you go, that's me, I'm 76, that's my latte. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, they don't care about your background, they don't care about anything. You could be number 77 or 74 to them, they would not care. They're just calling out a number and you're just coming to pick up your coffee. And sometimes we can do that, you know, you can feel a bit like that in the world, in the community. It's just like you're in a crowd and group of people and it can feel like, oh, there's just people around, and you can feel like, oh, you're just one of them, or you can look out and just see people all around. And God really encouraged us to stop looking at just the people in the crowds, but to see the crowds as ones, as people who are loved, who are called by God, as individuals all coming together, each person with the calling of God, each person loved by God. You know, there was a time I was talking to our team before our service, there was a time recently where I went to an event where we got to see a speaker and to see him share. And there was somebody who, you know, I had admired growing up, and he was an actor, and he was coming to share his biography and share wisdom from things that he'd learnt. So he was sharing that. And then at the end they said, guess what? As a surprise, everyone gets to meet him later, and everyone can line up and get a photo with him and meet him. And we're like, oh, that's exciting. So we all line up. And we're waiting for our chance to meet him. Now, the people who were organizing this event, I can guarantee, saw each of us just as one of the crowd and a number to get through as quick as possible. They didn't want to be there. This was a surprise photo shoot at the end. They wanted to go home. So there, they were literally their phone, like, give me phone, click, next, next, next. You know, God forbid you try to speak. It's just up, smile, move on. They were just there to be like, moving forward. Click, photo, go. And you just felt like you were just getting moved. Move through, get through quickly. But this man, who was the one that will actually meet, I really commend him. Amongst the craziness of just crowd, move through, he was really making an effort to individually make everyone feel seen and valued. So he would come up and say, hey, what's your name? And I said, Caitlin. He goes, hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. And the person would go, move out of the way, come up, photo. And so I'd go and just like, photo, yep, move on. And I go to move on. And he was on my phone. He said, excuse me, wait. And we all waited. And the person taking the photo is like, no, sorry, we've got to keep moving. He goes, no, wait. He said, check your phone. I don't know if I smiled properly in your photo. And there's 10,000 people still waiting for a phone. I'm like, it's photo. I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. He goes, no, it's important. You've lined up. I want to make sure you get a good photo. And the person taking the photo is like, come on, just move through. And no, I don't think you waited till I smiled. I think you took the photo too early. Check your photo. Phone, I looked, and sure enough, he wasn't smiling. He said, stop. We're going to get in a new photo. Let's take a selfie together because I want to make sure that you go home with what you'd lined up to get. So we took a selfie. The organizer of the event was not happy at all. Here we are. Take a selfie. Stopped. He goes, now you have a great day, Caitlin. Thanks for coming. And we moved on. I can't tell you in that moment how valued I felt. He had singled out of crowds of people, just move through. He stopped and put value on me and said, no, it's important to me. What's important to you is you've obviously lined up for this, and I want to make sure you get what you've come from, and I want you to know that you've been seen and that I value. And I felt so valued in that moment. And I'm sure if you think back, you can all think of moments where you felt like a number, or where you felt seen and you felt known. And you felt like, hey, they actually valued me and they saw me as an individual and as a person. They saw me and they cared and they showed love. We've all had those moments. Well, in this concept of Mission One, as we're developing the program, the Lord was speaking to us and he spoke to us from the story of the lost sheep. So I'm going to go quickly to Luke 15. Luke 15, you might have heard this story before, a great parable of Jesus where he was talking about, as we've talked so much this morning, how God has been speaking to us about the incredible gift of grace and the gift that God has given us of Jesus coming to the earth to take our punishment, to die for us. And in Luke 15, Jesus said, we'll go from verse 1. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness to go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. But I love that concept. He said, there, you've got 100 sheep and you're missing one. The shepherd will gladly leave the 99 to come out and chase after the one that has run away. That has run away on its own accord, that has done the wrong thing, that has disobeyed the rules and run away. He said he will gladly leave the 99 in a heart of love to chase after the one that has got away. And that's such a powerful analogy, foretelling of what Jesus comes to do, where he died on the cross, taking our sins, saying that, you know what? In all the world, if there was only one, if you were the only one, Jesus would still have done everything he did, giving up his title of Son of God to become a man, to go through life as a man, to be tortured, to take on the pain and the punishment of sin. He would do all of that, even if you were the only one. That's how much he values and loves you. Even though you don't deserve it, amen, even though you don't deserve it, even though I don't deserve it, if I was the only one, he values and loves me so much that he would chase after me. He would chase me down and love me as the one. And that's the heart that we have as Christians. He said to chase after the one, to love, to have that heart of love, to say, you know what, I'm chasing after, even if you're the only one, I see you. He puts value on us as individuals, the calling to chase you down. I love that concept of a love that goes after, a Jesus that left heaven to chase after the one, a Jesus that gave everything when they didn't, we don't deserve it. When we were in sin because we had done the wrong thing, but he chased us down. I don't know if you felt like that before. I don't know if there are people who you feel like haven't fought for love or haven't chased. You know, you feel like sometimes I feel like we live in this world where we have this image because we're so afraid that if we ever show that there's something wrong in our lives, people are going to leave us and run away because we're too messy and too hard to deal with. You know, we put perfect Instagram photos on. Look at my perfect family. Look at my perfect life. Look at my perfect house. Look at my clean house. Look at how wonderful it is because everything's perfect. Because we're so afraid that if we lift that curtain a little bit and people see that, oh, actually their marriage isn't perfect, or actually they're walking through this addiction, or that this family actually they're going through a really tough time, or you know what, they're actually walking through this. If people saw that, we're afraid that they'll run away. It's too hard, too messy. They won't fight for it. That relationship will be gone. But the great thing about Jesus is you can lift that curtain and he sees all the mess and he chases harder to find you. He runs closer to you. He runs after us because his love for us is so great. And he chases after the one. So we have this. So we had this heart, this training. We did this whole course called Mission One. Out of it was birthed this initiative called The Bridge, which is our bridge into the community to say we want to have a bridge where we are going into the world of our community. We are going into their world and the bridge for them to come into the kingdom. So we were starting programs and it's such an incredible heart of breakthrough, such the heart of breakthrough, our bridge component. And we did this Mission One all about going after the one. And then last week, we were watching this thing on TV and a phrase came up and it was just went off in my heart. And it was like the missing piece that I had for this concept of Mission One. Mission One, where we love the one, where we say we want to go after the one, where we see a crowd of people. But I want you to say, when I look at a crowd, I see individuals. I see people who God loves. I see callings on you. I want people to know that the one is worth it, that you are valued, that I don't just see a mass. I see, no, that each person is valued and loved by God. And this phrase I heard during the week, it was like went off my heart, like is this missing piece in this concept. And it was Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham, two incredible Christian music artists in America. They said this phrase. They said, when you do it for the one, he will help you reach the one. I'm going to say that again. When you do it for the one, he will help you reach the one. The one being God, and the one being like the person that we're reaching. And that just went alive in my heart. I thought, how powerful is that? Here we go. We want to reach the one. I believe everyone in this room, everyone online, you've got a heart to say, I want to love people. I want to reach the one. But in order to reach the one, the way to do it is when you're doing it for the one. He will enable you. He will enable you to reach the one around you. And that just went off in my heart and I started thinking about it. Because, you know, when you take out that step of saying, we want to do it for the one, I want to reach the lost, I want to reach the one, I want to love people, I want to see people as God sees them, you know, I want to reach them. But if you take out the step of doing it for the one, and you just take your eyes down and you start doing it and looking to the ones around and you just start chasing after the ones and I'm going to love the one, I'm going to love the one, and you're just looking on this level, it's hard. Things get messy really quickly, and I'm going to tell you a few reasons why. You might be able to relate. I don't know if you've ever dealt with people before. Hands up if you've dealt with people. And you know that people can be messy sometimes. People can be difficult. No. Good answer, husband. No. Thankfully. No. People are messy. People are hard. You know, and as you start to deal with it, and you start saying, I'm going to chase after one. Praise the Lord. You dip your toe in. You dip your toe in. You go, oh, that was tricky. I'm backing out. That was not a nice experience. I'm not doing that again, those ungrateful people, if I'm going to do that again. You know, things rise up really quickly when you're not doing it for the one. You know, you start doing it in your own strength. You start trying to make it happen. You start doing things your own strength. And you get tired. That gets tired easily. That gets exhausting when you're doing something in your own strength. When you're working through it and you're trying to make it work in your own strength. You know, when you're doing it just looking out here by yourself, pride rises up really quickly. You know, you can get prideful if you're not careful very quickly when you start doing nice things and helping people because it feels good. It feels good, if we're being honest, it feels good to step in and be the hero. It feels good to step in and help. It feels good when people start acknowledging you and go, oh, look at them, look at that, look how selfless they are. You go, oh, shucks, tell me more. But, you know, selfless, look how selfless, oh, you did what? You gave up your Saturday to help them? Oh, wow, and yeah, that feels good. If you're not careful, that can start to rise up and you start thinking, aren't I good saving the one? Aren't I good helping the one? Aren't I good reaching the one? Pride rises up. You know, do good is wonderful. Do great things. They can be some of the proudest people you ever meet. I'm not, they do wonderful work, but it's very easy. I met somebody one time doing great work, but there was a lot of pride in what they were sharing with me. And I thought how quickly it is easy to start doing things, but pride comes up when you're not doing it for the one. When you're not doing it for the one, you get burnt out really quickly. You start getting burnt out because it's draining. People are exhausting. You get depleted. You grow weary when you're helping people and you're working with people because it's draining. When you're doing it without God, people are messy. It's complicated. They have baggage. I have baggage. I'm not just talking about them. I'm saying me. We have people bring baggage. We have layers. I don't know if you've heard, there's a movie where he says, you know, people are like onions. We have layers. Layers, onions, layers like onions. That there's something up here, but you keep peeling down and there's just so many layers. When you say something, you know, there's all these layers of hurt or an emotion and culture and beliefs and all these things that come into everything that we do and are. So people are complicated. You know, when you're doing it, when you start doing things, people will hurt you. You'll hurt them. People will lie. People will abuse you. People will not be grateful. People will say things. People will be acting out of defense and hurt. You will hurt them. You know, I once went to a class with some missionaries. There were missionaries in Thailand. Incredible couple, and they were talking, you know, about missionaries, and they said, you know what, as much as we love short-term missionaries, sometimes we just wish they didn't come over. They said, because short-term missionaries, she's very often, they have a great heart to want to help, but they come and it's all about them. They come and think, here I am, the mighty savior, to come and save this community. They come and steamroll and do everything and just like a bulldozer run through everything because they're like, here I am to save. You know, whereas they said, you know, mission is all about long-term work and humility and coming to learn the culture and build relationship. And they said, we love the heart that they came over with, but sometimes we can spend 4 months fixing the damage of a 10-day trip that someone came in to come and make themselves feel better because they've, you know, done a tick of, I've done some really good work and go, you know, and I thought, what an interesting concept. And it was so interesting hearing their stories of what they've worked with and having the heart that they have. You know, so sometimes people are messy. We can go in there and think, oh, I'm doing great work, but you're actually just doing harm and you're not helping the issue. You're bringing your complications in. So all that to say, when we're not doing it for the one, but you're just doing it to reach the one without God involved, it gets messy really quickly and it's hard. You know, when we started this program of this sort of initiative of Mission One, I was so excited. And I was like, Lord, show me what we can do. And we had all these ideas and we were getting connections in the community, which we still have today, and incredible. And God has been so good and opened up doors in our community and favor and opportunities. But I was like, here I am, Lord, Mission One, here I go. And like I said, I dipped my foot in and I'm like, good Lord, this is very hard. This is not what it's like in the movies. You know, the Hallmark movies, they show there's an issue and somebody just comes and brings a food hamper and they cry and they go, oh my goodness, that's everything I ever needed. Thank you. And everything's resolved and it's happy and it's wonderful. Everyone's so thankful and it's lovely. I was like, Lord, this is not what it's actually like out here. This is very hard. You know, and I'm not judging anyone because it's me. It's all the mess I'm bringing as well. But I would come in. And like I've had to my face one time, we were connected to people who were needing some food. So we were providing a weekly hamper for a time. And I came maybe on the third week with a hamper. And they said, oh, not that brand. We like the expensive brand. Next week, bring the expensive brand. We don't want that brand. And I was like, well, excuse me. I don't even eat the expensive brand at home. You know, like, you know, or, you know, I was told, oh, no, we just threw out that food because we didn't particularly like it. So all that thing you bought, we just threw it out. Like, oh, okay. And you realize it's not easy. It's not things. Or we'll connect one time and you'll come in and we'll hear, oh, there's no food on the table. They've got kids, no food on the table. And we're working with all the right connections and authorities. And we would just come in and say, hey, what can we do to help join the work you're doing? And we'd come in and I'd be like, they've got these beautiful TVs and fancy gadgets and things that I don't have. I had never had anything as fancy as some of the equipment they've got, but there's no food on the table. So it's like, okay, so the issues are layered. It's complicated. It's not as simple as being like, here, tick, I've fixed an issue. It's saying there's cultures, there's mindsets, that there's insecurities, there's things to deal with here that are actually complicated, that take work, that take time. You know, that there was times when we were giving things out and I could see, we were trying to bless some kids, and I could see the parents telling their kids how to steal our gifts. And I'm like, my goodness, I'm thinking everyone's going to say, thank you so much. I'm like, no, there's greed and people are trying to steal more gifts that I've got for other children. And it's like, I'm like, all that to say, again, everyone, beautiful person from God, that and they, just like me, have layers and things to deal with. But it's complicated. It's not an easy fix. As you start doing things, you realize, oh, this is actually tricky. You know, it's easy. I know it takes some sacrifice, but overall, it's easy to say, hey, here's a $50 voucher, take the voucher. It's hard for someone to say, hey, I've got a substance addiction and I don't know how to break it. And it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to work with you. This is a long-term thing. We're going to work with you. We're going to be accountable together. I'm going to do the hard yards with you. I'm going to love you through this. I'm going to love you through this issue. And we're going to help work through this together and find freedom together. It's hard. When you start saying we want to reach the one, it's complicated and it's hard. It's draining. You know, and I want to say in all of this, to make sure that in no way am I saying like it's an us and them. That's very dangerous to start thinking, oh, look at us, perfect Christians, reaching out to the community. We're all people that God loves. And it's saying we're all messy and we're all working together. How can we all find the gift of God that God has given me, the same gift of Jesus that I need? How can I give it? How can I reach those in my lives, my work colleagues, my neighbors, my friends, my shop assistants? How can I reach them? How can I see them as the one? How can I do it? You know, Jesus gives us an amazing example in the Bible. You know, think of Jesus, if you've heard the story of Jesus, he ministered all day to people, hours upon hours, thousands of people coming, healing the sick, praying for them, ministering all day. Can you imagine that there would have been no system of people lining up? It just would have been people, constantly people all day. That should have depleted him. He should have been drained from that. Can you imagine having people just all day? Probably he probably has the greatest ministry the world has ever seen. But he wasn't. Jesus was full of strength. Jesus was full of love. Jesus was full of all the strength and grace needed to minister. That's not natural. And you say, oh, is that because Jesus had a personality that just really got energized by people? No. Is that because Jesus was God? No, because when he came to earth, he gave up his rights as God and became a man. So he said to us, the works you've seen me do, you do as well, but do even greater. He came as a man. So that means that there was a supernatural help, that when Jesus is ministering to people, there was a way that he could do it. And he had the grace and the strength to do everything, to minister and to reach the one. So we say, well, Jesus, you're the example. How can we do this? Well, I believe it comes to such a simple thing. When you're doing it for the one, he enables you to reach the one. When you're doing it for God, everything changes. When you're doing it down here on your own strength, it's hard, man. When you're doing it for the one, he enables you to reach the one. So we're going to look at really quickly five things that when you do it for the one, how it helps you reach the one. So number one, compassion. When you're doing it for the one, God gives you, there's a supernatural compassion that comes in. Because I know everyone's heart here is to reach the one. We have mission one. We want to reach the one and we want to say, God, help us do this. And when you do it for the one, he gives you a supernatural compassion. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew 9, if you've got your Bibles there. Matthew 9, verse 36. Actually, we'll go to verse 35. It said, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. When Jesus saw the crowd, he was filled with compassion, with a love that is a supernatural love and compassion. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I see people and I don't like them. You know, there are times you deal with people and you go, I don't particularly like you right now. Not my husband, ever. No, never. Thank the Lord I've got a husband who shows such grace to me. When you work with people, sometimes it's like, this is hard. You know, I don't particularly like you right now. And if you're feeling like that, I encourage you to say, I'm going to turn to look to the one. Because like that song said before, we do it, when you do it God's way, there is a supernatural love and compassion that can flow. When you're reaching people, there is a love that can only come from God that says, oh, I have a compassion for you and what you're walking through. I have a compassion for you to reach the Savior that I know. There is a love that I have that is only from God ministering out. So I encourage you to pray with faith, to say, Lord, give me a compassion. Give me your compassion for the one. Give me compassion for the people in my community. Help me to see it with a heart that is full of love, that aches for them as you ache for them, as you love them. Help me to have a compassion for them like Jesus. It's not natural. It goes against human nature. That, like that song says, that enables you, when the people hurt you, to respond in love. That enables you to respond in compassion when it goes against what everything you want to do in the natural, because there is a grace and a spiritual enabling to have compassion. So number one, when you do it for the one, he enables you to reach the one with compassion. Number two, before we move on, let's go to Luke 23. One of the most powerful scriptures. I was reading this yesterday and I was just filled with gratitude for what God has, Jesus has done. Luke 23. Well, let's go to verse 32. This is Jesus. He's about to go die on the cross, take our punishment. Verse 32, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, for the people that are doing this to him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him, too, by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above him with the words, this is the King of the Jews. So Jesus, here he is. He has been beaten, mocked, accused of sins he did not commit, taking the most painful, shameful punishment of being on a cross for something he did not commit or do. For the people, he's doing this for the people that are mocking him, that are beating him. Here he is up there. Just so, so hurtful, the mocking. And yet Jesus' response is compassion. He's walking through all that. I can't, you know, sometimes when I walk through something, I'm like, oh, this is tough the way people are treating me. I can't even scratch the surface of what Jesus was going through in that moment. It's not even possible for me to be what Jesus was walking through in that moment. And yet his response was compassion. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, extend your love to them. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. I won't read it, but in 1 John 4, we've been studying 1 John in our life group. It talks about abiding in God. And when you abide in God, it says his love is manifested through you. When you are abiding in the one, when everything you're doing is for the one, there's something wrong if you are abiding in God and love is not coming out of your heart, because God is love. It cannot be separated. God is love. So if you're abiding in him, there is a love that is available to flow through you, a compassion that can only come from the one. A compassion that lets you be in a place like Jesus is, where he's there on the cross and his only response is not, you know, he could have been, you know, right then, his response could have been anger. It could have been hurt. It could have been confusion. It could have been pity. Oh, you know, look at me having to walk through this. It could have been pride. It could have been, woe is me. Look at me yet again having, you know, been mocked for the people that I'm loving. It could have been all of those things, but it wasn't. It was compassion. It was love. So church, when we do it for the one, he enables us to reach the one with a supernatural love and compassion that can oversee. You can see somebody and it's like, I should be feeling hurt. I should be angry at you right now. I should be all of these things. But all I can feel is compassion for you and love for you, because I'm abiding in the one who enables that. So number two, when you do it for the one, to reach the one, he gives you strength. When you do it for the one, you supernaturally grow stronger, not weaker. Like we said before, like dealing with people, doing all this, it should be draining. It should be hard. But when you do it for him, there is a supernatural strength to reach the people in your life. There is a strength to get stronger. You don't get depleted because you're doing it for the Lord. You know, it says in the Bible, do everything you do as unto the Lord, as if you're serving him. No matter what you're doing, you should be doing it for the Lord. Because when you do it for the Lord, everything changes. Everything's different when you're doing it for the Lord. And when you're doing it for the Lord, there is a supernatural strength that rises in your heart. You know, Mark and Kirsty's testimony, I've never seen people walk through such a tough time, but full of such strength, full of such love, because God has been ministering through them. Because right from the get-go, they said, we're doing this God's way. They're doing this God's way. And people who should be tired and weary of the journey, when every time I speak to them, they seem stronger than they were the time before. Every time they go to a doctor's appointment, they seem stronger because God is working in their heart. And there is a supernatural strength for what they're going through. So church, when we want to minister for the one, when you want to minister to the one, first we go to the one, because there is a strength that comes. There is a strength that comes with that. Isaiah 40 talks about those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar. They will run. They will not grow weary. That is supernatural. That goes against human nature. Human nature, the older you get, the more tired you should get. When there is God, it's a reversal of process. And there is a strength in your spirit that can come. A strength that comes in Matthew 14. Why don't you turn with me there? Matthew 14. We'll go verse 13. Jesus has just been ministering. He has been ministering to people. But then he hears the news of his beloved friend, John the Baptist, has been killed. He's just learned of John the Baptist's death. So verse 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. He has just heard his friend, John the Baptist, has been killed. He would be hurting right now. So he removes himself to go and be alone. And what every person wants when they go in that kind of situation to go and be alone, what they're wanting is this next verse. The crowds heard where he was headed and followed. That's exactly what he would have been wanting right now. Here I am, just retreating. I've been ministering all day. I've heard this. I need to just go and retreat and be alone. So people said, oh, great, we'll follow. We'll follow you wherever you're going. We'll just follow where you're going. And you know, the thing is, they're not following to love on him. They were following to get from him. They were following to use him. They were following because they wanted something from him. They weren't following to be a blessing and to support. They were following to get something from him. So here he is, he's retreated and the crowds followed. And verse 14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. But yet again, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. And then we'll go through the rest of it later. But Jesus had compassion on them. In the moment where that is not natural, he had a supernatural compassion and ministered from that. And that's because of this. When you're doing it for the one, there is a strength to be able to do things that go beyond what is natural, what is in the natural realm. There is a strength. There is a joy. I love Mark just commented online. There is a joy of the Lord which brings you strength. There is a joy that comes only from God when you're doing it for the one. So when you do it for the one, there is a strength to be able to do it. Now, of course, I'm saying be wise, retreat like we talked about a few weeks ago at church. You know, take time to pray and do things. I'm not saying, you know, be silly and don't have boundaries. But I'm saying there's a supernatural strength that comes when you're not doing it in your own strength, but for the one. Number three, when you do it for the one, to reach the one, there is a humility. It makes it about him and not about me. It doesn't make it about how many people I've helped. It's about how many people he's helped through me. It's about how many people I've had the absolute blessing to be a messenger for God to work. It points everything back to him. The more you're abiding in him and doing it for him, the less it becomes about you and the more it is just about getting God to the people. The less ego is in the way. The more it's not about me and what I'm doing. It's all about him and having the privilege of him using me. It points people back to God. There's a supernatural humility that comes. In Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. It says, do this so people will praise God. When you're doing it for the one, church, there is a humility that points everything back to God. And you start to realize, oh, I can do anything because it's God in me. It's not me doing it. I can step out. And if he wants me to lay hands on the person, I can lay hands on them because it's not me. It's God ministry through me. If he wants me to step out into the situation that seems so scary and daunting, I can do it because it's God in me. I can just trust him and he'll work. And all the glory goes back to him. It's not me. It's all God. It brings it all back to him. You know, anytime I feel, you know, Mark preceded my comment online. Anytime I'm starting to feel it's a bit about me and, you know, and the ego starts to creep off, I like to remind myself that God used a donkey once. If you haven't read that story, go to the Bible, look up the story, but God used a donkey. So anytime you start to be feeling like, oh, I'm pretty good, just remind yourself he can use a donkey. So just think about that when you're out ministering. God, it's really not me. You could use anything and anyone. It's all you just looking for a vessel to use. It's not me. Mark just said that. He's like, be that donkey that Jesus rode on. Absolutely. It's just about me. It's just about God using me. God using me for him. It's all about him. Number four, when you do it for the one, he gives you strategies. He gives you wisdom to how to do it. Because you know what? When you come and you're reaching the one, like we said, people are like onions. It's complicated, right? There's different things at the root. You're looking at one situation, you can look at two people. It looks exactly the same on the outside, but underneath it's totally different. One over here there's a root fear of rejection that's driving this. One over here was abused as a child, and there's all these things that are coming up based on that. But on the surface, it looks the same. You don't know what's underneath it all. You know, like we said before, when we started helping people, I started realizing this is so much more complicated. It's not a simple fix because there's layers. You know, I can bring you food, but I need to help you walk this journey. There's layers of things that we can help get. We need to fix the surface issue, but we also need to be here to help you with the root issue. You know, we need to walk through this with people. And when you're doing that in your own strength, it's impossible. But when you're doing it with God, there is supernatural strategy and wisdom that comes. So the Holy Spirit gives you insight into what's underneath things. You know, in Mark 9:29 for time, we won't turn there, but Mark 9:29, Jesus is ministering and somebody comes that's demon possessed and the disciples can't set him free. But then Jesus comes and sets him free and they said, Jesus, why? Why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, oh, this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. That tells me that Jesus said, hey, it's not on the surface. You've got to look in the spirit to know what's underneath, to know how to approach each situation. That means when Jesus was praying and healing people, he didn't just go pray. Each person, he came and was empowered by the Holy Spirit to know how to pray for that person. Each person he ministered to, he had a power that came from the Holy Spirit to say, I know how to pray for this healing. I know how to believe with you. There are so many stories in the Bible our pastor has preached on where it's like, why did he say that? Why did he call that lady? Why did he seem to call that lady a dog? You know, why did he say it that way? And when you unpack it and understand it, you think, Jesus, you are so wise. You knew things that were underneath and you knew the way to see people's freedom. You knew the way to set to, for people to find their healing. You knew what to do because he had God's strategy. He had God's mind. He had God's empowerment and Holy Spirit empowerment. He saw what was behind the thing. You know, Jesus spoke differently to the Pharisees than to someone who was hungry for truth. People might have said the same thing, but he would respond differently because he could see what was behind what they were saying. He could hear the heart. So church, when you're reaching the one, do it for the one, because there will be supernatural strategies and wisdom that come that you say, I know how to do this. You might feel so overwhelmed. You know, somebody, you know, like we said, life group, we walk together. Somebody in your life group says, I'm working through this addiction. I've tried to break it, but every time I try to break it, I seem to come back. And as a life group, you say, Lord, give us the wisdom. We can seek you and you'll give us the wisdom to know how to overcome this. You'll see the wisdom that we know how to walk through this and find freedom together. You'll show me when to show love. You'll show me when to put my foot down. You'll show me when to do this. You'll show me, Lord. Because he enables you to have wisdom to know. And number five, when you do it for the one, to reach the one, it brings breakthrough. It brings a supernatural breakthrough that you can never, ever get in the natural. It brings a breakthrough power of God. It means you are ministering his breakthrough power and miraculous power to a situation. It means you are bringing his healing power to a situation. It means you're bringing his freedom that brings supernatural release. It means you can come to a situation that has been generational and in a moment God can heal. It means you can come to a situation that is totally impossible, but every doctor has said, this person is going to die, there is no other way, and you say, my God is a different story, and you can bring his breakthrough power to the one. It means you can come and not just give the love, give the one some happy words to hear, you can come and give the one truth. You can say, I've got the truth and the hope of Jesus that will set you free. I've got the good news for you. I'm not just coming to help and bring temporary help, I'm coming to bring the good news of my Jesus who can set you free, who can change the trajectory of your life, who can change your eternity. I'm bringing Jesus who heals, who loves, who has grace for everything that you've ever walked through. I'm bringing a Jesus who can heal broken marriages. I'm bringing a Jesus who can heal mental health. I'm bringing a Jesus who can restore relationships. I'm bringing Jesus who can change your life. I'm bringing a supernatural breakthrough power of God that you cannot find in the natural, that you cannot find anywhere else. That's what we're doing when we're reaching the one. Because we're bringing the one. We're bringing the one to the one. It's not just me going out and giving some help. It's me bringing the breakthrough love and power of God to the ones in our life. It's saying, you know what? I'm not just going to walk alongside you in this journey. We're walking this journey to breakthrough. We're walking in this journey to victory. I'm not just coming alongside you to be a listening ear. That's great. But I'm also going to come and bring the power of God, because God can change this situation. God can bring change in here. God, I'm not just coming to say I'm so sorry for that cancer diagnosis that you got. I'm coming to say my God is a healer and your name is healed in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to bring a power of God into the ones. We're coming to bring good news. People that are destined on a trajectory to hell, we're coming to bring the good news that says there is another way. There is a way of life. There is a way of freedom. There's a way of forgiveness that you don't have to earn, that you don't have to be good enough. There is a way of forgiveness and grace, and I get to tell you about it. I get to be the one that comes and tells you about the one that can set you free. You know, in Matthew 14 that we read before, when Jesus had heard about, you know, John the Baptist, and he came and people followed him, and then he was ministering and healing the sick. So here he was, a moment where he should have been exhausted, he should have been depleted, but he was full of strength and ministering and loving. And you know what? He turned it around. He didn't just heal the sick. He saw what we saw, one of the greatest miracles that has gone on for thousands of years to be told over and over again because of the magnitude of the miracle. The miracle of feeding the 5,000. So if you go down and read there in the rest of Matthew 14, the people are there and Jesus said, these people are hungry, we should feed them. His disciples say, what? What can we do? What can we do to feed them? He said, well, just bring me what you have. They bring just a handful of loaves and fishes, and supernaturally, the food multiplies. Supernaturally, they fed at least 5,000 men, but many say there was probably thousands more. But to be honest, it could have been 10 people and it was still a miracle. But there was thousands upon thousands of people there. And they came, and miraculously food came, and they had baskets of food left over. One of the greatest miracles. And that happened because when you're ministering for the one, he can turn it into moments of miracles. He can turn it into opportunities where you can see the miraculous power of God outworked in a situation. So maybe you're feeling like right now, like Jesus felt, and I want to encourage you next time you're feeling like that, when you're feeling a bit like, oh, I've just tried to retreat away, and I'm not feeling it today. I'm not feeling like ministering. I'm not feeling like reaching the one. Well, can I encourage you to do what Jesus did, to turn and look to the one, because his compassion will come, a supernatural compassion, and where you can start ministering and he was healing the sick. And then you can say, God, I'm turn this into an opportunity for a miracle. Turn this into a time where we can see miraculous things at work happen. When you choose to say, I'm doing it for the one so I can reach the one. Team, do you want to come back up? And I'd love you to just lead us in that song that we sang before, The Jesus Way. Church, when we do it for the one, he will enable you to reach the one. He will enable you to reach the one. Why don't you just close your eyes wherever you are? Thank you, Lord. You know, I believe people here, you have the heart that you want to bring. You want to help. You want to reach the one. And I don't know what it was today that specifically the Holy Spirit used to minister to you. Maybe it was that feeling of saying, God, I know I should reach the one, but if I'm being honest, I find it really hard. I find it really draining. I find it complicated. I find it hurtful. Maybe you've done something and you feel like you've just been used and abused. And you're saying, God, I don't want to do that. I just want to be in the background. Let others reach the one. Maybe you're feeling like, Lord, I've been wanting to reach the one, but I haven't known how. I've been trying, but I didn't know how anything I'm doing. I just feel it over my head. Maybe you've gone out and you're feeling like, you know what, Lord, I know I should love people. And that there's no shame in admitting this. You can say, I know I'm meant to love people, but right now I'm really struggling. Right now I'm really struggling to see them through the eyes of love. Well, this morning, whatever it is, maybe you've been feeling tired. Maybe you're just feeling depleted, just saying, God, I just feel like I'm so tired. Whatever it might be, I encourage you as we sing this song to use this moment to say, right now, I'm looking up to the one. I'm looking to the one. I'm looking to the one who can fill me with a supernatural love and compassion. Where I've been struggling to show love to people, God, I'm looking to the one, fill me with your compassion. Fill me with your love. Maybe where you've been feeling tired today, you look to the one and you say, Lord, let there be a supernatural strength that is not natural, but it's supernatural ability and strength to do everything that you've called me to do. Maybe if it's been feeling overwhelmed and it's like, I'm trying to do this, I feel in over my head. Or maybe you've stepped out, you've said, you know what, I feel God's calling me to do this and I'm trying, but I feel so unqualified, I feel so inadequate. Look to the one and say, God, give me strategies. Holy Spirit, empower me. Because it's not about me, it's about you. I'm just your vessel. Show me how to handle this situation. Show me how to handle this. I feel right now by the Spirit of God, there are people right now that you're watching and I'm feeling like it's a child. And it's like you've got a child, maybe they're, I don't know if it's adult child or younger child. And you're saying, Lord, I don't know how to handle this situation. I'm really wanting to love them and I'm trying to love them, but I am feeling so, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. He's here right now and he's saying, I've got the answer and the way through. I've got the answer. I've got the strategy. I've got a strategy for you. Just look to the one, lean into me, lean into my spirit, trust my spirit and my direction. I'm going to lead you through. I'm going to show you the path that is individual to this situation. It's not something that, you know, this is not just a cookie cutter. Hey, this is steps A, B, and C. He said he's going to show you a specific plan for how you can walk through this with your child or children. He's got a way, but whatever it might be, whatever you're looking for wisdom in and to reach the one, he's got an answer. So I'm going to ask the team to sing this. You can sit or you can stand. And just use this as a time to say, I'm going to look to the one. I'm looking to the one, fill me with your compassion, fill me with your strength, fill me with your humility, fill me with your answers and wisdom and strategies, Lord, and your breakthrough, miraculous power that I can minister and bring to the world. So let's sing this.